In a short while, we're going to be talking to Ted Schmidt, who has a blog. It's called theologyinthevineyard.wordpress.com. And he, of course, is the author of a memoir. And I keep wanting to call it No Retreat, but it's No Compromise, I think. We'll get to that. I want to say just a couple of things about the developments around the world that are concerning. One, in my view, that I want to make sure we say something about is that there is this now a hue and cry that something must be done about ISIS in Syria, Iraq, and the region. And I'd like to know, where are all those people who always caution us, after the fact usually, that, we shouldn't be stampeded into decisions? I recall when there was a group of people in the city of Benghazi, and they said, we have to do something about Gaddafi. And the whole world said, yes, they're the good guys. Now we have a racist, horrible mess in Libya, courtesy of NATO, which did something, because they said something should be done. What they thought should be done is that Gaddafi should be prevented from protecting his government from a bunch of unknown characters who turned out to be a bunch of unknown characters. And now they're running the place. And all kinds of blood has been shed, and particularly African blood, by the way, because Libya was one of the countries that had a policy of a more open and respectful attitude towards Africans. But he also had a policy, the Gaddafi government, of trying to help Africa in ways that didn't involve the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund, which I think we can all notice seemed to be what they really didn't like about him. The thing, and so when they said something had to be done, they meant something had to be done about Gaddafi, which led to the macabre scene of the Secretary of State of the United States sort of doing a little dance in her office, saying, "We came, we saw, and he's dead." And when most of us can remember how the death came about, which was not a proper courtroom, and nobody demonstrated that he was a criminal, but instead we watched, again, unknown, unsavory characters with knives and killing a leader who, by the way, had the support of the African Union. Again, who cares? That just, we're doing the right thing. So I raise this matter because we're now talking about a big project. And yesterday, the President of the United States, Mr. Obama, said that, we're looking at a three-year effort. 3 years. And actually, they kind of smirk and say, who knows, it might take longer. To engage with, again, a nondescript basically group, which is, we've never clearly identified who it is, although everybody seems to understand that they got their money and their ideology from two of our friends, Qatar and Saudi Arabia. These are people embraced, petted, stroked by Washington and Ottawa, because they're permitted to go to the petting zoo with Washington. And they provided the funds. It's true that rhetorically they say, we're appalled at what's going on. But, there's a long border with Turkey. There's warm relations between Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and Turkey. Fighters cross that border, and suddenly we're told, it's a long border. What can we do? Turkey is a member of NATO. What you do is you pick up a phone and you say, close the border. And then they close it. They don't walk around the streets of Turkish cities bragging about their exploits and recruiting people, foreigners, to go into another country, a sovereign country of Syria, and to create mayhem. Everyone's appalled at the deaths of journalists, white Western journalists. But we're back to the phenomenon I remember as a kid, that Lyndon Johnson once sent U.S. forces into the center of Congo because a nun had been killed or allegedly raped. And so all the rapes and murder that had been going on amongst the poor population of that country were of no importance. But when a Westerner was involved, that became the trigger, the excuse to intervene. And the question that I believe we should ask, and is not being asked and not being addressed, and I'll bet you're wondering why I'm wearing this wristband, and you're looking at my wristband, which is Hands Off Syria. Well, the reason I'm wearing it, is because no one mentions how we're to resolve this issue without involving Syria. But the President of the United States is permitted, and the Prime Minister, and the Prime Minister of England, and the President of France all talk about this issue as though the government of Syria doesn't exist. And, of course, for them it does not exist because they've already taken it off the map. They've already said that the president has to step down. They're talking about the president of a sovereign country. He has to step down. Embassies have been closed, which, in my opinion, one of the most ignorant things so-called civilized societies can do, since embassies are there to make communications possible between parties that may not be getting along, and to provide other services of a humanitarian nature. When you take somebody's embassy away, you're basically signaling to the population of that country that you don't recognize it, and anything that might happen is of no concern to you. And it, and in other words, it is incitement. You're inciting people against their government, which is what is taking place here. And we're not hearing anybody confront this government, Mr. Obama, saying, if you would notice, the government of Syria has been fighting terrorists. And how do we know? Well, because the various Christian organizations, the various organizations representing Kurds, various Islamic minorities and whatnot have been attacked, and had their not only have they been physically attacked and had their heads cut off, but they've also had their mosques destroyed, their churches destroyed. So you're dealing with a nihilistic ideology. And they have been the victims of it since Obama and others told us that springtime was coming to the Middle East. That ain't springtime. That's Murder Incorporated. And Syria has been fighting to preserve itself. And it is silly to quibble over whether, oh, I would have preferred this Syrian to that Syrian. You're not a Syrian, so you can save yourself the trouble. But that there is a government. It is a member of the United Nations. And if you're going to cross their border or fly over their airspace, then that is an issue of peace and war. That's an issue of aggression. And when Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State, and this all began to unfold, Libya, etc., she announced that the solution, and I understand it's her position today, is that they create a no-fly zone over Syria. What they mean is Syria is not allowed to fly, but they are. So an enemy of the state of Syria is allowed to, gives itself that right. What? In the name of what? Because they're going to be fighting the bad fellows, ISIS, etc. Well, that's a very, it makes it very suspicious business. If they were principled, they'd say, well, of course, Syria is a government, and we're going to conduct a war here against these terrorists because we want to preserve the government of Iraq. By the way, that also involves them. The government of Iraq has never asked them to fly over Syria, and Baghdad didn't say they wanted that. They would prefer an arrangement of states so that you can have stability. Everybody always claims they want stability. You don't take actions that are going to create vast instability and then say, oh, we didn't know that was going to happen. The reason states have international law and the reason they have diplomats in the United Nations is to avoid one state deciding it's going to settle the matters for other states. So in my opinion, this is something that we should be focused on. We should not, we should say, fight terrorism, but acknowledge that other states are fighting terrorism other than the United States. If you say, well, it's okay if they're terrorists once they cross the border into Syria, but if they cross the border into Iraq, we're going to call them terrorists. No, a terrorist is a terrorist, is a terrorist. And if you are using this as an excuse to pretend the border of Syria doesn't exist, you can see the consequence coming, which is that the United States will say, we're pursuing the most evil people on earth. You remember, by the way, that every time one of these things happen, it is the most evil thing anybody ever saw. It's just like the latest scary movie. This is the most scary thing. And we're pursuing this guy, And Syria says, yes, pursue him, and I'll even help you, but you have to respect my border. And the answer from the United States will be, oh, no, no, you're getting in our way when we're trying to solve this terrible problem of the terrorists. And bringing with them in their wake, after the U.S. decides to cut off a piece of Syria, the way they did, by the way, with Saddam Hussein's Iraq, both the northern and southern part of Iraq were cut off, there was no fly zone, then you ship in your friends, and you will call yourself, as they already do, the Friends of Syria. Then you will have somebody, it'll be Brand X, because we've been through about five great leaders, and all the great leaders have disappeared, but they'll have a new great leader. He will be in the protected U.S. zone, challenging Damascus, in order to satisfy the imperial edict that came from Obama, which is the president of Syria must step down for the most holy, sacred reason of all, which is I said he has to step down. Because if the great master can't be the master, people might get ideas. So he has to be shown to be totally in power. At any rate, that's a perspective. I really think we ought to be concerned about it. I wish we had an opposition party in Canada that would raise at least the question, how do you intend to deal with the issue of violating the airspace and border of Syria when you're not invited to do that by either Baghdad or Tehran, which is kind of important government in that part of the world? How do you intend to do that without making it turn into a war to remove the legally established government of Syria? I would say the same applies to this crisis in Ukraine, is that we're in a dangerous situation where basically anything Obama said is taken as absolutely the truth. And we have a little dispute here. He's spent the weekend saying there are Russian forces in Ukraine, and everybody says, oh, that must be true. Actually, that's disputed and, as far as I know, not established at all. But why don't they go into some respectable international institution and talk about it instead of turning it into really hyperbolic and menacing language? The world really doesn't need any big wars. We've had few. And we ought to stop celebrating them in the way we talk about them, so as to make something stupid, a stupid encounter of this kind, only resolvable by arming or moving NATO. And lastly, I just say, NATO was, that we were told, was there because there was a communist menace and it was to resist communist aggression. But, of course, it was founded 10 years or 8 years before the Warsaw Pact. But the Warsaw Pact is gone. Soviet Union is gone. But NATO remains there, and we're told, and it's always treated like this sacred cow, and is led by this guy with the wonderful name Fogg. Fogg from Denmark. And Fogg, as Seamus Milne pointed out recently in The Guardian, Fogg is the one who told us, as when he was the Prime Minister of Denmark, it's we know for sure that Saddam has nuclear weapons of mass destruction. We know that for sure. So while he was a Danish prime minister, that was his how he helped us all out, led to the mess that they created in Iraq. And NATO is expanding, and it has the idea that it can run right up to the Russian border. Why don't we have a little debate in Canada? Is that a good idea? And I would remind the NDP members, NDP was in favor some years back of breaking up, you know, ending NATO. NATO was unnecessary, and it also involves you in, you have to buy the guns the Americans tell you to buy, then you have to use them in the way they tell you to use them, and pretty soon you don't have any sovereignty yourself. I realize you might find this like science fiction that I'm talking about the NDP position opposing NATO, but that actually happened. And I would tell them it's time to revive thoughts of that.